Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
Yeah. You could call in, however. The antelope that runs on the treadmill to power the telephones here in Wyoming went to sleep. It's just too cold and windy, so can't take phone calls tonight, but we can take the Skypes. And y'all know the Skype email address, ID number, account name, information. And this is Michael W. Dean on what I'm calling Freedom Fiends After Dark now. It just hasn't been fully rebranded over, but it is the Michael Dean After Dark, Freedom Fiends After Dark, the post-NEMA apocalypse we're living in. And I have Jack Johnson over on the other end. How you doing, Jack? Jack?
You hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, excellent.
You know, he's up on the moon, and it takes a few seconds to get the signal there and back. I had fader down, man. It was my fault. My bad. Yeah.
Oh, everything's fine. We've just been having a pretty windy time up here in the Appalachians just recently with this, what they call a supercell that came through the other night. So we've had a lot of flash floods. Friends couldn't get to work.
Did your still blow over?
It did. I did. I lost all 40 gallons, unfortunately.
You rednecks and your moonshine.
Yeah.
You don't have any moonshine stills. You lost them in a boating accident,
no.
Didn't you?
No, yes, they were lost while we were out boating for sure.
Yeah.
No, it's just, no, we've been dealing with that. We're expected to have another round of possible tornadoes tomorrow night, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm looking at this news item you sent me here. Oklahoma inmate dies after execution is botched. Why don't you read the first paragraph of this? Do you have it up?
I do, actually. This is from McAllister, Oklahoma. A botched execution that used a new drug combination left an Oklahoma inmate withering and clenching his teeth on the gurney Tuesday, leading prison officials to halt the proceedings before the inmate's eventual death from a heart attack.
So they basically tortured him for a while. Here's what I think. Close enough for government work, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And how do you feel about the death penalty, Jack? Since this is talk radio and we need to touch all the hot button issues on touch their buttons.
I think from a spiritual standpoint, I don't approve. But then again, there's that old Western cowboy phrase that, you know, goes, some people just need killing. So it's a hard toss up. I've never had something tragic happen to me on the level that I would want that type of justice, but there are people like parents and wives and husbands who have lost a loved one due to violent crime, and they may feel differently.
Here's what I think. I think I'm all in favor of anybody being armed and shooting anybody who tries to come at them.
Agreed.
Stop them. I'm against the death penalty because I don't think the state should have that power. Mm-hmm. They often get it wrong. A lot of innocent people have been executed. And it also doesn't deter crime at all, and serious studies have shown that. The stuff that people do that gets you the death penalty is usually done in the heat of the moment, and it doesn't enter people's head, I may go to the chamber for this. It doesn't deter crime at all, and therefore, it's just the state getting its kicks out of executing somebody. And it's also, I really don't like a lot of things about the justice system. And one of them is that it really doesn't give like closure or justice to families. Like for one thing, you know, if the state were going to do this, why not let the victim or the victim's family do the killing, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of like Handmaiden's Tale style. We had a case here in the county that I live in where the gentlemen that were arrested falsely by the or prosecuted falsely by the DA 10 years later were exonerated with DNA evidence, and they had maintained their innocence for a very long time. So there's that factor as well. People that are on death row that possibly don't even deserve to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know about the where the origin of the phrase just do it?
Mm-mm, no, I don't.
Checking this to make sure, but it's who was the guy that they made a, you know, the guy that was on Death Row that they made a movie about? You know, that guy. No, Gary, yeah. Gary Gilmore.
Right. Yeah.
His last words, and his execution was pretty bizarre. It was very, he wanted to be executed. He fought to be executed. People intervened and like delayed his execution. He just wanted it over with and, you know, took a long time, kept happening. And his execution was like in a barn with like five guys firing 30-06 right, you know, rifle rounds at him through the heart,
right.
You know, from like 30 feet or something. I mean, it was, I don't want to say brutal, but it was just gory, you know, it was very gory, execution, a very like old school execution for something that happened in 1977. And wow. when they were about to put the, you know, the hood over his head that they put over when they kill people, when the state kills people. And, you know, he was somebody that under the cowboy code there's some people that just deserve to die. He certainly was one of them. He just rode around the country on a murder spree. He got off on it. But they said, "Do you have any last words?" And he said, "Let's do it." He said, "No, let's do it." And that kind of was in the news a lot for a while. And some person at some ad agency who was charged with, or, you know, tasked with coming up for a Nike logo or motto, so, like, that was in the paper that day. You know, these people make like six figures. What's their job? They look at the paper. Oh, okay, let's change one word in this executed criminal's last words. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that gory that that's Nike's logo? Just do
and
it.
It's yeah. On t-shirts all around the world.
Yeah, man.
We had a bizarre execution that happened here around the late 1800s. A circus elephant went wild, and this was right after the Civil War, and he killed some people in Unicoi County, Tennessee, just over the range here.
Just to watch them die.
Just to watch him die. And the elephant was convicted by the judge.
An elephant was convicted by a judge.
Judge, and it was hung on a crane down near the railroad tracks. And it's what the town is famous for, is executing an elephant.
Does it say that? Like, welcome to the sign when you come into town? Welcome to blah, blah, blah. We execute elephants.
And it's got a picture of the elephant hanging by a chain. And they're proud of this. To everybody else, it's kind of like, wow.
Man.
That shows you how far the state will go.
So. Yeah. The state, meaning every government ever, from, you know, the UN to your local neighborhood watch committee, all of them. I don't know about neighborhood watch. I could be voluntary. But, any, you know, the UN down to your city council in your small town, all of them have a bloodlust. All of them want to, not many of them would pull the trigger, but a lot of them want to sign the document or make the vote, the tiebreaker vote that gets some paid agent of the government to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I'm sure if you told homeowners associations they could have that power, they'd probably take it too.
You know, homeowners association is one of the reasons we left California. And yeah, they're voluntary, but it's like they're voluntary, but it's like they're kind of like the government in a lot of ways. And one is that you buy a house, you sign a homeowners association agreement to live in that house in that area, and their covenants, which are their contracts, their constitutions. First of all, they're like 40 pages. Second of all, the one we had was 40 pages, and it was like, you know, the only copy wasn't online. We had to like pay $25 and get a copy of it because we'd lost the one that, you know, my wife had 20 years ago or something. We had to pay to get a copy of it, and it was like fourth generation photocopy. You could barely read it. And then it had, and it wasn't updated. And basically, like, it had a bunch of amendments stapled on at the end of it that you had to go back and check against, like, you know, part 16C-4 is now changed to read, you know, so, but basically almost all, or probably all, homeowners covenants, say that they can change them to whatever they want. So you're agreeing, you're signing a contract to be determined, basically, you know. Wow. And, By the time we were ready to leave California, basically someone tried to break into our house while we were home, and That's when we bought our first gun. This was about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And before we realized we can't own guns or we can't carry them in California, this is horrible, we want to move somewhere we can. Even before that really sank in, the thing that sunk in was that we wanted to put a motion sensor light in back of the house we owned, and we weren't allowed to. And we petitioned. Yeah, we petitioned them to do it, and it took them 9 months to do it. And by then, we were in the process of selling the house and moving to Wyoming.
It's like socialism, but instead of a small box at the end of a cul-de-sac, we had a case just recently where a guy in Tennessee he wanted to buy a firearm for his home for protection. It was in Memphis, near Memphis. And they told him he couldn't have one because it was against the homeowners association covenant.
They hadn't gotten around to banning that in ours yet, but they probably have in that one by now. It's pretty silly, man. Yeah.
Oh,
which probably means you could have one and they wouldn't know. But if your neighbor saw you carrying a soft rifle case to your car, they'd probably snitch on you. And even if that didn't happen, if you ended up using it in self-defense, you'd not only have to deal with the law and the family of the scumbag that you shot, you'd probably also have to deal with they might take your home, you know?
Yeah, do that. That's one of the, like I said, it was one of the most vicious organizations I could mention, so I had to throw in the Homeowners Association as a governmental agency.
One time my wife and I were like, really just having a great day, like where everything was going right, and we were sitting out in lawn chairs in front of the house, like watching the sunset. It was beautiful. We were holding hands between the chairs and sipping iced tea, just an idyllic moment. And these two people from the Homeowners Association, two of our neighbors, came up and were like ranting, like, you need to come to the Homeowners Association meeting and you need to blah, blah. Like, I just looked at him like, we're selling our house, we're moving. And they were like, well, okay. Like, if you're not gonna join our fight, don't waste my time when I'm yapping at you. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends After Dark with Michael Dean and Jack Johnson.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. I hope the hamster in your brain is doing special things to you tonight, Jack Johnson. Keeping you up. So, you know, what's Ethereum? I don't know what that is. I don't even I just went on a Bitcoin spending spree tonight and spent about $2,000 worth of Bitcoin. It was amazing. And I really wish this company took radio ads, because this is going to sound like a radio ad, but actually contact them and they're basically like, we're so cool, we don't need to advertise. There's this company called gift.com, gyft.com. Mm-hmm. And you can buy with Bitcoin, you can buy gift cards for like everything. Like, what was it, DJ? Amazon, Bath and Body Works, Old Navy, Sephora, Land's End. That was the five we bought at, and there's like 145 more. It's I've been collecting Bitcoin here for a couple of years now, and my wife's like, oh, that's okay, you just do what you want with it. And now, like, I suddenly showed her you can actually buy like fun lady things with it. And now I think, well, she's I'm not saying she's going to demand my Bitcoin or anything, but I spent a bunch of Bitcoin getting stuff for her, and it was really a big euphoria rush, because, you know, I've been pushing these long numbers around on the internet for a couple of years now and never really did much with them.
other than registered domain names that no one can look at.
I've been listening to you for a while. What did she think when you first brought up the concept of Bitcoin to her as a way to invest money?
I never looked at it as an investment. I mean, we kind of got in too late. We got in about 2 years ago.
Gotcha.
And, you know, that was about a year later than you could have spent, you know, your modest savings on Bitcoin and retired a year later. Mm. So we missed that cutoff. But she was in favor of it. You know, she wasn't against it. She's her politics, her worldview is the same as mine. But yeah, she just, I mean, it wasn't even a matter if she didn't get it. It was like, okay, you do that. Cool. But it wasn't, now she's going to be like, ooh, you got more Bitcoin? Ooh, ooh. I mean, she's looking at Sephora on the computer I'm talking to you on right now.
Got it. Well, they, this,
Ethereum.
Ethereum, that this is a, we've determined this is a language built off of the blockchain environment.
A programming language.
Yeah, programming language. And it allows you to create substructures to create your own currencies and decentralized networks. And I first heard about this through the gentleman and the folks at the Blue Ridge Liberty Project.
Yeah, and you said that like a lot of the kids in the woods in Appalachia are learning. So there you go, kids. Ethereum. It's the programming language that's sweeping the Appalachian backwoods.
It's how we're going to sell shine to the world.
Well, Ethereum, the name of it sounds like you could probably email ethyl alcohol with it somehow.
You could, you see, yeah, you could run it off the ether for sure. They, when I first heard, I saw it today and I was like, what in the world is this?
I don't know what that is.
So, when I started to read a little bit more about it, I found out I didn't know as much as I originally thought I didn't know. But did you ever figure out what their yellow and white papers meant?
No, they have a white paper, which a lot of technology projects do. It's basically a, here's our plan, you know, like in semi-technical language. But this Ethereum has a white paper and a yellow paper, and I've never heard of a yellow paper. I looked it up on Wikipedia. When you search yellow paper, the only thing that comes up is the Wiz Khalifa song Black and Yellow, which I don't think is what this is about.
And the second listing is Ethereum.
Yeah. So to me, it looks like a slightly denser, more technical white paper on quick glance.
Well, according to their what section, Ethereum can be used to codify, decentralize, secure, and trade just about anything from voting, domain names, financial exchanges, crowdfunding.
Always with the voting.
All that stuff.
Always with the voting. You know, I did a post on the Bitcoin forum on Bitcoin, whatever the main one is, Bitcoin Talk. And I split off from they had a how can we use the blockchain for voting that can't be cheated, and like they're talking about for political elections, not for voluntary things. And I started this side thread and actually used the title of this for the name of a Freedom Fiends episode where we talked about this, and it was something like using decentralized voluntary systems to install, you know, non-voluntary tyrants is the squarest thing you can do. We'll be back with more. And I'm not saying that's a reason to not like Ethereum, but always with the voting. They say that with Namecoin too. We'll be back on Freedom Feeds.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Yeah. It's the Yankee and Redneck Show with Michael Dean and Jack Johnson.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy. Why, I do declare. No, wait, I throw my Long Island lockjaw. I do believe that we're going to be talking about different blockchain technologies today. That's my Yankee voice, man. There was a right-wing pundit from the 60s and 70s that sounded just like that. Do you know who I'm talking about?
The voice sounds familiar, but
I think he started. I think he started that magazine called the Nation.
Yeah. What's that guy's name?
We'll look it up. But anyway, yep. So Ethereum, all the kids are doing it. Now, I asked you during the break, is anybody actually like programming in this, like building things with it? And you're like, no. What did you say about rainbows, man?
Well, we live in a town that sells rainbows for a living, so it's highly unlikely.
Yes, hemp-powered autonomous corporations in cars that run on rainbow farts and unicorn power magic.
Right. Ethereal biofuels.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is the first time that I've heard of it. Everybody was excited about it, but the more I've looked at it, the less I can describe it. So
yeah,
I think you're right.
Which was kind of true of Bitcoin at some point, and it was kind of true of the internet at some point, but I don't know, man. I got right into both of those and was able to describe them easier, but I wasn't building them. I was building websites in 95, but I wasn't building the back end of the web. And I do remember that back then, using computers was more difficult than now. Like, if you got a new printer, you had to, like, get the driver for it. You had to manually install it yourself and things like that. Yeah, on dial-up.
You had to search for the little folder and pray that it found it in the right spot, too.
Yeah, things were – it wasn't plug and play. It was plug and pray back then.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to diss Ethereum. I just don't get it. And, you know, if people who are true believers of it really understand it, they're free to look at me as that's some old man who doesn't get where the future's going. But – I understand and use Bitcoin often. I understand Namecoin and have worked on two teams that have helped develop things for it and market them. And I have looked really closely at this thing called MadeSafe, which is kind of an Ethereum type thing. And I've also been looking at something called BitShares, which I think of these four systems that are like magic flying car. You know, they sound like magic flying cars that are going to take us into the future. I think that BitShares might be the pony to bet on. I'm not positive yet. My programmer Derek and I are still vetting that. And we do think that MeowBit could probably be revamped to work with .p2p as well as .bit. .p2p is the decentralized domain name that works on BitShares.
Yeah, that's I've heard more and more about people getting the .bit domain registered. I need to go ahead and do that myself and pick up my domain as a .bit. So it's a great idea. I guess the biggest issue I ever had was explaining it to people. I would say my friend Michael's come up with this really awesome idea, and I would explain it to him in computer geek language, and people would go, huh? And
I didn't come up with the idea.
Oh, okay.
Namecoin was developed by a team of four or five guys, and Free Speech Me was the first plugin for viewing .bit domains. Before that, there were workarounds that were really clunky and not safe, not secure. Jeremy came up with Free Speech Me, and I contacted him and offered to help market it. And Derek came up with MeowBit, which kind of did what Free Speech Me did, but a lot more. Like, Free Speech Me only works on one browser. It works for Windows or Linux, but it only works on Firefox. MeowBit only works on Windows, but it works on the whole computer. It'll work on email. It'll work on any browser. It'll work on FTP. And I don't know, man. There's so much politics involved in trying to come into a development team or into a development environment that already exists and has, you know, lifelong friends who trust each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of innovators are looked at slightly as interlopers. And it just – it's also people aren't really rushing to make .bit websites like I thought they would. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is it's kind of like, you know, a lot of people aren't going to prep until the tornado is coming, which is too late. Mm-hmm. But
that's right.
I think a lot of people also trust. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've actually heard people say, like, oh, you know, I think the government will take down websites, but you know, the nerds will figure it out. And I'm like, we're the nerds, man. We're here. We figured it out.
No.
You have to do something. And they're like, no, you got, it has to be easier than that. You know, they, I mean, it's like the internet, think about how fabulous it is and how like soft everyone's become to where they won't do a couple extra steps to secure, you know, and these are people, a lot of them who are like, you know, they have a basement full of food and rifles and water. And they're like, oh, they're on a .com website complaining about the government. And they've spent all their money prepping physically, but they won't spend, you know, it costs nothing to prep and get a .bit site, but it takes like, you know, maybe a half hour, an hour to set it up on the website owner's end. And like, nobody does it, man. There's like, I don't know, something like 300,000 registered .bit domains, and there are something like 30 or 40 .bit websites, and I own like 10 of them. That's kind of sad, man.
Well, I had the same issue happen when I fell in love with PGP for the first time, and GNU PG came out. And I was trying to get all my friends that were complaining about the government back then. We didn't know much about the NSA, but we were just the government in general, eavesdropping on our conversations. I would say, all right, well, let's get PGP keys and we'll write back and forth to each other and it'll be great, you know? And I could only get one friend to even upload his own PGP key, and he and I still use it to this day. So, you know, and you're the only other person that I actually even use any type of security stuff with. Everybody else, we use
Pigeon, which I actually like Pigeon a lot better than PGP mail for a bunch of reasons. One is, for some reason, I can never get PGP software to install on my main computer because I've configured for audio and all these special things with it. So I have to do it on another computer, either a different Windows one or a Linux one. And then I set it up so like when someone sends me an encrypted email, I get a copy of it on my main computer. Then I have to go turn on another computer and like decrypt their mail and read it. And it's like, you know, it says, yeah, it's the weather's nice here today. Let's go have a burrito at noon. And I'm like, really? And I can see the point of like, you do want to encrypt everything, even if it's not secret, because if you have a bigger haystack, it's harder for anyone to find the needle in it. But it's just too much work for me. And also, I don't like having a record of it, even if it's encrypted, because then if someone physically gets your computer and beats you with a rubber hose and gets your password, I really prefer Instant Messenger that's secure and encrypted, because then the only record of it's in your head, you know?
Right. I became convinced of Pigeon and OTR after you first mentioned it and brought it up on a few shows, and we started using it.
Yeah.
There's a lady that's coming out with a product called StartMail, which is supposed to help alleviate a little bit of that learning curve for people that don't want to use encryption the right way. So that there's some hope, you know, on the horizon for sure.
Yeah.
Especially in that type of technologies.
Yeah.
Well, this, like I said, I wanted to bring up that programming language.
Oh, I want to bring something up really quick here. Yeah. I helped write this really cool video for, it's called What is Namecoin? And you can go to, it's by this guy named Michael J, who I don't know anything about other than I chat with him and he's a cool guy. And if you go to my Twitter feed or the Freedom Fiends site, they're both listed there. If you go to the Freedom Fiends Twitter page, it's one of the top links on there. Or you can just search on YouTube, what is Bitcoin? I mean, what is Namecoin? Did I say Bitcoin before? No, what is Namecoin? And there's two videos called What is Namecoin? One's old, and it's some guy talking, and it sounds horrible, and it's really boring. And then there's a new one, it's only a few days old, that's animated, and it kicks butt, and it's great. And you should go check it out, because this guy really did an amazing job with it. And I just helped him a little bit with making stuff more accessible for the masses and accurate and things like that. So it's a really good video, man.
Yeah, I, like I said, I'm a big fan of Namecoin, and I primarily have to thank you for that. And this is the way of the future for sure. So,
well, I think that decentralized everything over a blockchain is the way of the future, but I don't know that Namecoin is. I'm You know, I don't want to throw it under the bus yet. I'm not ready to do that. I'm just kind of poking around at what else is available. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing BitShares, one of the guys on it, I believe, used to work on the Ethereum project and left it, and I think has said something to the effect of Ethereum is, you know, one blockchain to rule them all, and, you know, paraphrasing The Hobbit. And it's like, that doesn't sound like what I want. I think I want competition, man. You know?
Right. Free market, man.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
I mean, not that it's not free market, but it does seem it's hard to criticize or praise because it's so ethereal and it's got a theory in the name, to where I don't know what that is. Like, I've looked at the video. I've heard the 19-year-old Russian genius who invented it talk. I've looked at the white paper. I don't know what I've installed their alpha software. It crashed my computer 5 times, and then I finally got it running, and it just was a bunch of numbers streaming by. I guess it's a programming environment, but I couldn't tell. It didn't seem intuitive, and other things do, other in programming environments I poked around in. And it's I don't know what it is, but I've looked at the white paper for BitShares. And while some of the deep math is over my head, it's like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. I get it for 28 pages, you know?
Now, what is until tonight, I hadn't heard about BitShares. What is BitShares?
Oh, now you're going to put me on the spot.
Oh, okay.
Well, first of all, it was financed with something called ProtoShares, which was a coin which mm-hmm. people mined to invest in BitShares. And I know BitShares has raised like $1 million just in Bitcoin, plus what they've raised in ProtoShares, plus what they've raised in cash. So they're and I think Ethereum might have venture capital involved, which also kind of scares me with anything that's about bypassing the government, because I don't know if I trust venture capitalists. And there's also something in their video, in their main video on YouTube, you know, it has the two creators talking about it, where they say something about involvement of Goldman Sachs. And it's not clear whether one of the programmers used to work there or if they're actually being financed partially by them. That would scare the hell out of me for something that's supposed to bypass the government. You're still laughing, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. This is Freedom Fiends After Dark with Michael Dean and Jack Johnson. We're talking about flying car software that's going to deliver your mail, do your taxes, walk your dog, and keep you company on those lonely cold nights. I want to play a little ad that my wife and I did today. Mark Edge wrote this. It's not in the system yet, but I like it, so we're going to play it. I did the music for it, too. Here we go.
Have you ever wanted to move to the land of LibPair? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is LibPair in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Yep. Cool, man. Cool. That's my old band Bomb playing in the background. That is a fun song, and that's I remember we'd play that song, and it would just be like 500 people moving up and down and dancing wild and crazy just as soon as we'd start playing that song. It was fun, and I kind of miss that about rock and roll, but I don't miss the, you know, diseases or overdoses or fist fights or getting paid in beer money while traveling thousands of miles, you know, sleeping on floors, getting beat up by cops, getting beat up by angry boyfriends, having to threaten to beat up club promoters to get the $100 they guaranteed you and having them pull a gun on you. Oh man, good times, good times. So you guys got your own little pork fest there. We'll come back to the flying software, car software, but what's your pork fest? It's named after Bob Moog, the inventor of the Moog music synthesizer, right?
That's correct. Bob moved down from New York several years ago and decided to like Asheville.
Weirdos go to Asheville.
Yeah, they do.
It's like you tip the nation up on its side and all the weird stuff rolls to Asheville, I think.
Send us your sparkly dregs. Yeah, they moved here, and he brought his theremin factory with him. And so,
where'd he leave? So, New York.
He left New York.
Well, if you keep raising taxes, I'm going to pick up my theremin factory and move to North Carolina. Is he about 106 now?
He unfortunately passed away just a couple years ago, like Asheville loves him. They just made him part of the culture around here. So they have this thing called Moogfest, and we had you've heard of the band Kraftwerk?
Oh yeah, Kraftwerk.
Yeah. And so Kraftwerk showed up, and a lot of other bands. I can only remember Kraftwerk for some reason. I guess that's the computer geek side of me. But the strange thing about the festival is that Asheville, in addition to having Moog here, it also has this huge red leftist communist kind of hippie block that doesn't really they protest at the drop of a hat, and the governor is a Republican.
That's how you meet chicks, man.
Yeah.
Well, that is there. Some places I've heard the new pickup line is, "Hey baby, want to come back to my place and see my Litecoin mining rig?"
Instead of Alinsky's Rules for Radicals on my book.
Yes.
Well, the governor decided that, now he lives here in town. A lot of people don't know that. He just doesn't tell everybody that. And he decided he was going to be a part of the economic forum, and they invited him. So it started off this huge, giant protest thing, and everybody in town was upset. They're going to boycott Moogfest, which is like our biggest festival that we have. And
Good.
It just snowballed. and we didn't need them anyway.
Yeah.
And so the governor's,
you know, it reminds me of this. There's a King of the Hill. You ever seen the King of the Hill where there's like some New York abstract artist has a showing in Arlen, Texas, and gets in a big beef with Hank Hill because one of the artist's pieces of work is actually an x-ray of Hank's colon stuffed with beef superimposed next to a starving Biafran kid. And there's a law literally in Texas about defaming beef, and they use it to get the picture removed. And the artist is just yelling and saying, "I'll make sure that you never have another exhibit of world-class New York abstract art in this town again." And as the sheriff's walking out with his painting, he says, "We'll get by." You know, not like anything yelling, just like, "We'll get by." We'll be back for hour two soon.
Go to MichaelWDean.com. That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
Testato sperimentato.
The
United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. with articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean, no relation to Howard Dean. Howard Dean's a socialist skunk, and I'm a libertarian cat. And we have a libertarian pole cat on the other end of the internet's here. We got Jack Johnson. Hi, Jack Johnson.
Hey, Michael Dean. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Get up there on that mic a little more. Get a little more present.
Right, how do we sound?
You sound good, man. You sound sexy. You sound sexy. I don't know. I'm not flirting with you. I lost my heterosexual life partner, Nima Vidati, this week, so I'm bummed out. I mean, he's still around. He's still my friend. It's just like, you know, yeah, I miss the guy, man. I'm just doing radio with him. But I'm digging doing radio with you, and I'm having the best show I've done with you so far. Last night, Nikki Darling and I did the best show we've done so far. So, you know, it takes a village to step in and try to fill Nima Vidati's shoes, but I think I've amassed that village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Nima is a outstanding individual.
Yeah,
and taking care of a baby is a big deal. So I'm glad he's getting a chance to do that.
Humans,
that's the most. Yeah,
humans. Yeah, all right. You know, like that's nothing against his baby. It's just like ugh, no. Humans and their procreation breeders.
Well, the thing about having babies is I've never had any, so I. But I
think you can buy them with Bitcoin.
You can. Really?
Hello. Maybe not through giftgyft.com, but probably somewhere, man. I don't know. If you can buy full auto AKs and heroin like it's a vending machine with Bitcoin, you could probably buy babies.
Yeah.
If you take good care of them. You know, it's like, here's what I think. I think people who are anti-abortion should be in favor of selling babies to like reasonable parents, you know, like yeah. Forget waiting a year or five to adopt, just sell them, man. There's people that would sell them.
People
I'm just trying to push the limit here. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know if I believe that. I don't. Yeah. So anyway, man, flying car software, that's going to like mow your lawn and do your hair and keep you warm at night through the blockchain. That's what we're talking about. But we have a little side bit here on Robert Moog. Rhymes with Vogue, as he says, not Moog like a cow. Moog. I think Moog would be cooler. I think if I were him, I would have changed it to pronounce it as Moog. But tell me about your politicians and their solutions.
Well, to recap, we have Moogfest, and the governor, like I said, lives here in town, and he wanted to attend the economic forum, and here's why. He invented a phrase called Silicon Mountain, and he envisioned that our particular city would become the Silicon Valley of the Southeast. And he spends a fair bit of time trying to bring money into town, but that still doesn't make a lot of these leftists pretty happy with him. So when he found out he was going to speak at the festival, instead of, you know, just letting it pass, which is the normal way we deal with stuff in town, they were going to protest it. And they made a big stink about it, started a Facebook page, got on the radio, and said a lot of really interesting and not so true stuff. And the governor, who actually I remember, Pat McCrory, I remember him as being mayor of Charlotte when I lived in Charlotte. And he's a very intelligent person. So He basically says, okay, well, the organizers have asked me not to come, so I'm not going to be going to Moog most likely, and so I won't be showing up. And that gave the leftists, you know, cause to go celebrate. Someone went out and partied and said, well, yay, we got the governor not to come to Moog Fest. And ironically and clandestinely, he showed up at the financial forum anyway. So it's kind of like, and they still tried to organize a last-minute protest about 15 minutes out from his appearance. So it that's one of the jokes about this town is we could drop everything and protest at the drop of a hat. So
that's you can protest hat dropping.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't abuse those hats. You know? But yeah, that kind of segues into what we've been talking about with trying to use the internet as a form of economic development. So
it's kind of developed some economics for me. And, you know, we went on a spree today, but I'm still going to plead poverty and ask people to send donations because, I mean, like $2,000 saved in, you know, a couple of years is nothing. I mean, basically we saved and that was our mad money. And it really wasn't mad money. A lot of it was buying clothes for Porkfest because my wife lost some weight and needs some new clothes. And
I
rewarded her. And, yep. So we had to buy our summer clothes because we don't really have any because it never gets warm enough here to need summer shorts.
Yeah. Frozen antelope land.
Yeah, frozen antelope land. So, the protesting, the people who produce jobs. I mean, I kind of get the feeling that some leftists – and I'm not picking on them. I can pick on Republicans all day long because there are Republicans who are as inconsistent in their logic as any leftist. But this special brand that you're speaking of it, they're almost like anarchists who want the government, if that makes sense, because it doesn't. But like, you know, a lot of Occupy Wall Street people were basically – I mean, you can't ask a power structure. You can't like stand out in the yard and smell bad for days and expect a power structure to respond to your demands when your demands are stop being a power structure or we want another power structure. Basically, they're like, we want the government to get Wall Street to quit acting like Wall Street acts when the government backs it up, you know?
They want to create more legislation to legislate legislation.
Yeah.
That's practically what they want to do.
I mean, the best illustration of it I've seen is a photo. It's a really well taken photo taken at Occupy Wall Street of a cop spraying a dreadlocked hippie guy in the face with one of those high powered pepper spray things that just blinds you. I mean, it's an assault pepper spray thing. And that's horrible. I'm not laughing at the hippie. I mean, it's horrible, and that cop should be thrown in a dark hole somewhere. But the what the text that's been added is above the hippie, there's an arrow pointing to him that says wants more government. And above the cop, there's an arrow pointing to words that say more government.
And, exactly.
You know, if you hate guns and you hate violence, which are two different things, but if you hate guns and you hate violence, you shouldn't ask for more laws because that leads to a cop on every corner, which leads to more guns in the hands of violent people.
Exactly. And it's interesting to sit and hear their solutions always involve more government. And I'm like,
they often involve more laws.
Yeah.
And they don't really follow through and listen all the way to the end of the tape of what that means. And what that means is more government. And what more government means is more cops telling you what to do. Because I really think a lot of people who ask for more laws do not realize that every law is backed up with the threat of the barrel of a gun to your head. Oh, yeah. And without the threat of the barrel of the gun to your head and the threat of throwing you in a cage, every law is just a suggestion that you're free to ignore. So basically, when people are asking for more laws, they are asking for more threats of guns to everyone's head and threats of cages. And, you know, I mean, think about your average hippie. And I love hippies. Some of my best friends are hippies. But, like, you think about some hippie who smokes pot and thinks everything should be free and wants the government to pass some law. The people he's asking to do that are the same people that want to throw him in a cage for smoking a joint.
Exactly.
Those people aren't going to be cool on one issue and not on another. You know, anybody that wants to throw you in a cage for smoking a joint wants to throw you in a cage for everything. I mean, now they're trying to ban e-vapes, you know, electronic cigarettes. Yeah. They're trying to ban and regulate Bitcoin. They're trying to ban and regulate all sorts of cool stuff. And really, it's like there should be like six laws, man. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't commit fraud. Don't aggress on people. Don't hit people. Don't murder people. Don't rape people. And all most all of those, you know, all of them, they all fall under don't commit aggression, you know?
Right.
And that should really be the only law. And, yeah, I mean, they add so many laws every year that there's like New York style phone book, you know, they have this new thing where they, they're like, you ever get a reverse 911 call from your county?
I haven't in a while.
They have that here. Like basically, and it always happens really early in the morning when I'm asleep and I have my ringer off and I wake up at 1 p.m. after doing the show and editing it and drinking coffee and watching reruns of Nikita or Breaking Bad or whatever. And, you know, I wake up and there's like a phone call and it's like, this is the Natrona County reverse 911 system. There is a hailstorm in your area. And I'm like, I'm listening to the hailstorm. Like it woke me up and I went back to bed, you know? And we also have these loudspeakers around our town up on telephone poles, like every 8 blocks or something. And it's like from my house, it just sounds like, you know, every once in a while, it'll do a siren when there's really bad weather coming. It'll do a siren. And then I'll hear muffled talking and I'll step out of my porch and I'll hear. And I don't know if they're saying like, you know, today is a holiday. Everyone stay home. Or if they're saying like the Russians are attacking. I have no idea from where I live. So, but the reverse 911 call is so useless. But here's the thing. I think that, I mean, basically they're requiring that all cell carriers have this capacity. They haven't put it into law everywhere yet. And it sounds like a good idea, but I joke half jokingly that eventually it's just going to be streaming a bunch of text of the new laws they've passed that day. And not even the text of the laws, just the names of the laws. Cause they pass so many, it'll just be a constant stream.
Oh my gosh. I was about to say you should call up and ask him if it's Charles Schultz's teacher that's actually enunciating over that.
All right. So are we done with the filthy hippies and their much they love the police?
Totally.
Or you got more. Okay. Let's go back to the flying car software. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I was a kid, we were promised flying cars. Like, you know, there was the Jetsons, there was sci-fi, there were ads, there was talk. They also, it was all by the year 2000, you know, which when I was a kid, I was born in 64, I'm going to be 50 this May. And when I was a kid, like the year 2000 seemed like an eternity, like it would never come. And so that was like the milestone. Everyone said like by the year 2000, we'll all be in self-driving flying cars. And it's like, that didn't happen. And here's why. Because all of the technology and all of the scientific brain power that would have led to flying cars was co-opted by governments and turned into drone technology. I really believe that. Drone technology is so sophisticated, man. I mean, they're coming out with like solar-powered drones that fly in low space that can fly for 5 years without refueling, man, without needing fuel. And spying everyone all the time. And Google's helping them. Google, you used to be cool. What happened?
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yum, 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 because by the time that gets out on the radio, it's off sync because there's a delay between when it could. It'll be okay on my podcast end of it. But by the time people listening on the stream are like, man, that guy has the worst rhythm. But no, it was actually very in rhythm, but just like an eighth of a second off. So there. You can listen. You can listen on the podcast later tonight and confirm that. So, flying car software. It's I came up with that term because I was working on these Namecoin projects, and it was like, you know, these guys had come up with these really simple programs that work with this program Namecoin that has an installed user base, and it's literally here now. It's easy to explain. People who aren't very computer savvy can set it up and get it working. And I had so much trouble getting people to do that, man. Whereas there's these things like Ethereum that are, you know, I'm kind of jealous. I mean, it's like getting all this money, and it's not about the money. It's more about the adoption. And it's like all these people talking about Ethereum and BitShares and, you know, like flying car coin or whatever it is. And all these things that may or may not do what they promise to do. And you can't even really use them yet. And I'm like, what I kind of felt like was there are all these people getting all this attention and being invited to speak places. And, you know, it's not about that. It's like, I don't even want to speak publicly places. I'll do it on the radio. But that these technologies were getting massive amounts of attention when this other technology I was involved with that literally worked, it's here today, I was having trouble getting people to pay attention to it. And it's not me, because I've gotten attention, huge attention for things before. Mm-hmm. But these other things, it kind of looked to me like as if there were like five people that said, I have blueprints for a flying car, and crowds formed and the sea parted. And I'm over on the corner saying, I have a car that actually works and you can drive it. And it's not great, but it works. And like they're like, car? Who needs that? You know? I mean, it's not the best analogy because there already are cars, but let's say, you know, I had an aqua car that worked and they're talking about a flying car that they don't really have yet. So it's frustrating to me when people jump on something that's a giant leap from here that may never happen and jump over something that is a small but distinct step forward. And they knock that out of the way to get to the dream, you know, to the unicorn-powered flying car.
I worked for software companies for years, and that's one of the things they do is they basically provide a piece of software or a product that doesn't necessarily work, and everybody gets behind it. Right.
Or something that never comes out. I mean, the term vaporware means something that never comes out. Can you talk about particular software that...
I can. The first was a predecessor to MySpace, which was based around music and entertainment, and it was supposed to do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, I think you got me to sign up for that about 7 years ago.
Yeah, right.
You were like, I'll give you a free account on this paid service, and I like jumped through a bunch of hoops. It was really hard to use, and by the time I was done, I was kind of like, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. And you even like made me the featured artist for a day, and it was like,
right.
Thanks.
Yeah. And the other was an event management program that never really came to pass. And they actually went out for 2 years and sold it as a program, and it never really worked.
Well, that network existed. What was it called?
Mm-hmm. Well, I refuse to say.
Okay. Is it still around?
It is still around, but in a diminished form. They actually went with a piece of software that does work.
And I worked in the .com boom in San Francisco for a number of companies that never made it past their second or third round of funding that had like ridiculous business models that were put out of business by other business models like overnight. Like one was this company called CatalogsToGo.com. And if you type that in right now, you're going to get this domain is for sale. And they were paying me their business model was finding every paper, every, you know, catalog in the world, every catalog in America that sold things through the mail and working out deals with the company where you can pay us a little money and we'll ship these catalogs out to people who want them. And my job was like every morning I'd come into this office, go into this room, and there was a room full of boxes of catalogs, and I would just pick out 10 or 20 of them and go read them and then write a 30-word description. And they were going to ship these out to people who signed up, you know, like pick 50 of them and we'll send them to you. And that was their business model. I don't know how they were going to get paid, but we'll be back with more. Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah, this is Michael Dean After Dark, broadcasting on GCN Satellite Channel 1. Does that help you there, Jack?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I looked it up. We were talking radio. You know, when I was trying to get on radio, and then we finally got on, and it took us a couple months to actually get on, and I was just like, radio! I was just walking around saying that nonstop, man. It was kind of fun. So we're talking about flying car software, which is the software that promises you the world and might not call you in the morning. But it might. It might be, you know, if you described the internet to people in 1995 or you described Bitcoin to people, you know, 4 years ago, they were like, the what? What? But, you know, you were talking about, like, you said, like, do you ever just go look at girls on Facebook? I'm like, no, because I've been married, happily married as long as Facebook's been out. But I did meet a girl on MySpace, and that girl actually is still friends of mine and of my wife. And that girl was the witness at our wedding and the only attendee at our wedding and the photographer at our wedding. We got married at City Hall, and we did not want family or friends. We just did it, man. Yeah. Yeah.
She served all three functions.
Yeah. She's good, man. Mm-hmm. She's good. So, but you said you met a girl on a bulletin board system. That's
yes.
Really old school, man.
I telnetted into the system to speak to her.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, that's a while back. And it was a classic internet romance where I was talking to her over a military computer system, of course.
Man.
And I met her at her university, and she was, for lack of better words, putting it very kindly, she was difficult on the eyes.
And from West Virginia.
From West Virginia. Yeah. So can't beat that for, you know, classic internet romance. So, and a cautionary tale to young people telnetting around the internet. To,
yeah.
I don't even think that telnet is even allowed in most systems nowadays.
Hmm.
I know that they request that you don't use it because of security problems, but we used to love getting out. That was how we saw the internet, was through, you know, just digital lines of code. And we thought it was the greatest thing known to man, just to be able to talk to people on the other end. So,
yeah, it was pretty cool. I got on the internet I got on the web at home in 96 and immediately had a website, which was kittyfeet.com, which I still have that domain. That's the Anarchy Gumbo website podcast, which is no more, but there's still about 50-some episodes archived there, and they're great stuff. And you could get them, you can get all of our archives of this podcast, Michael Dean After Dark, Anarchy Gumbo, Freedom Fiends, all the movies I made, and music I made with Nima on the Freedom Fiends torrent feed, which you can get by going to the freedomfiends.com and clicking on the link at the top says torrents. And you can set up your computer when you're not using it and torrent seed our stuff, and you can set up a scheduler too, so it only torrents when you're asleep or something or at work, which is a really useful thing to do to help the fiends without even spending one Satoshi of Bitcoin, without spending one post 1965 dime. You can help out, and you can keep us drone proof, which is kind of the new internet. And I'm actually working with Derek on brainstorming right now of what we're going to do and work on, because I think what we've done with Meowbit and with Namecoin is done, because the Namecoin development team guys, they have their own stuff. They don't need us. And we really can't do much with Meowbit anymore. It's kind of as good as it's going to get, and it's pretty good, and it's up there, and the source code is up there. So we're kind of looking for another project, because I love working with Derek. He's a great programmer. He's a good guy. He's one of us, you know, politically, philosophically. And what we're thinking of is, we've been tossing ideas back and forth, and what we're thinking of is something maybe with the blockchain, maybe not, maybe with the BitTorrents, maybe not, but something that would basically be encrypted, retrievable, password protected data storage, which, you know, is kind of what MadeSafe promises too, but it's got a whole coin system involved and everything. And like, you know, you can do that anyway with BitTorrent if there's enough people willing to seed it. I mean, WikiLeaks did that. WikiLeaks has like five files out ranging from like 1 gigabyte to 65 gigabytes that are called insurance. That word is in the file name. And basically what that means is, if Julian Assange is droned, you know, his last words, or maybe his best friend's words, will be, you know, purple monkey dishwasher. And you type that in, and it'll really, really, you know, it'll show pictures of, you know, politicians having sex with Boy Scouts and then murdering them and laughing or something. I don't know what it is, but who knows? But
yeah, that's there has to be a reason why they've been going after him so hard. But I thought you were going to say, when you said his last words were going to be, just do it.
Just do it. Purple Monkey Dishwasher is from The Simpsons. It's, you know, the game Telephone when you're a little kid?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
where each person whispers in their ear and adds a word to it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of comparing that to how rumors spread. It's like the teachers in Springfield are threatening to go on strike, and Bart is trying to get them to go on strike so he won't have to go to school. And he goes through the crowd like saying, like, I think the teachers are thinking of striking. And like each person whispers it to the next. And by the time it gets to the other end of the crowd, it's like, the teachers are threatening to strike and burn down the school. Purple monkey dishwasher. Yeah.
Man, I miss The Simpsons.
They still make them, though. Prime. They still make them. Are they good?
Who was the main guy that died behind The Simpsons?
I didn't know anyone died. I know Matt Groening and Sam. I don't know. Matt Groening's still around.
Yeah, one of the lead animators did pass away. I forget who it was, but
I thought that was all animated by like nameless drones in South Korean art factories.
Yeah, purple monkey drones. I think.
No, it is. It's animated in Korea. But
wow.
I think I think what that is like, in America, they draw the storyboards for it, and then they email it to Korea, and then in Korea, for much cheaper labor, they have people who draw all of the frames in between to make it into motion. You know,
kind of like how they do American toys. I worked for a toy company for a while.
Kind of like how they do American politics. Yeah. Outsource it on the blockchain. How square.
Yeah. We've got your legislation. It just came in from China. Thanks. You know?
Yeah.
No, it's but in regards to what you were talking about with flying car vaporware and other projects, that's been going around a lot recently. It seems like that kind of that tech idea of coming up with some type of project or some type of concept and then selling it.
Well, here's the thing too. Like, I mean, that's always been the idea. I mean, literally, Stanford University was formed by the first venture capitalist to train, you know, the science monkeys to run Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley was a planned thing. It was avocado groves before some guy decided to make it the industrial science capital of America. And, you know, it drove the radio fields, the television fields, the computing fields, the home computing fields and then the internet field. And I don't know what's going on with the blockchain there now. I kind of imagine venture capitalists are, I think they're kind of very curiously wary of Bitcoin, you know, because I mean, basically it promises to put them out of business. It promises to get rid of bankers and fat cats and, you know, distribute, not like redistribute the wealth, but kind of take away the power to become ultra rich from people who do it by backdoor deals. And
right.
That is one of the things it could possibly do. It could also hide, you know, there's a lot it can do. And these things of like registering ownership and things like that, like could replace a lot of what governments do other than murder people. So it is a threat.
Yeah.
I think they're probably paying attention to it, but not jumping into it. I think they also, a lot of them got really burned in the dot-com bubble. So they're a lot more cautious now. Like this Catalogs to Go company, you know, was put out of business by Amazon. Another company that I worked for, their business model, their entire business model, and they had like 30 programmers and like 30 artists, and everybody was making between, you know, $40 an hour and $100 an hour with their feet up on the table at all these places. I was the lowest paid person at any of these companies, and I made $30 an hour, you know, casual dress, feet up on the table, talking to my friend on the phone while I was working nonstop, and nobody cared. And like, you know, fully stocked snack bar, everything, like all the perks.
Ping pong table.
I was just going to say the ping pong table. I remember this one company I worked at called Paradigm Research. They're not there anymore either. But I remember like they had like 100 programmers working, and I don't know what they did. And I was the receptionist there and making $25 an hour for a temp agency. And I went into the break room one day, and there were three of the programmers playing Tomb Raider on a 6-foot giant TV screen, which was back when that was, you know, like $10,000. And I was like, excuse me, I was looking at our website now, what does this company do? And they didn't even look up or stop playing the game. He said, I don't know to this day if he was joking or not. He said, we enter into contracts with multinational corporations, renege on the contracts, and then sue them. And I'm like, that's our business model? And he said, that's our business model.
It's probably telling you what the truth, actually.
Yeah.
No, the software company I work with now has been around for 10 to 11 years, and the way that they've handled their business model is actually work. So the programmers do work, and the way they pay people is if times are good, everybody gets paid pretty well. If times are bad, it's kind of like everybody gets paid what they can. And it's kept the company running when we've seen a lot of companies in our town start up and fall, and we're still here. And the reason why is because we actually do work, and we got rid of our ping pong table.
That's awesome.
I literally watched them fold it up, and they're like, yeah, we got it, you know, and they folded it up and put desk in, and we treat it like a job. And I think that's the fault of a lot of entrepreneurs that are involved in the software industry. They want to go ahead and get the latte machine, or what is the new coffee thing that people have?
K-cups.
Yeah.
I only know that because Nima got one, and he and his wife just went on and on about how great K-cups are. And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Right. It, I guess there's sort of that dream still left where everybody can play, you know, they can play Call of Duty while they're taking a break or something like that, but and eat Doritos and all this free stuff out of the fridge. But honestly, those times I think in my mind are past.
Yeah. I'm ordering catnip and another USB microphone for a host as to be unyet named. So if you think you got what it takes, you'd write to me.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
Brink of Freedom is a community. FreedomFeeds.com, 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 FreedomFeeds. FreedomFeeds. FreedomFeeds.com, 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 FreedomFeeds. FreedomFeeds. FreedomFeeds.com, 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 FreedomFeeds.
Yep. It's the last segment. I'm shopping on Amazon, so I'm going to turn it over to Jack. Well, I'm trying to read this tiny, like, 1-point text serial number on the back of this mouse so I can order another one. But, here it is. It's the Logitech M100 USB optical wired mouse. And make sure when you buy that, you buy it on through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link on the Freedom Fiend site, which I forgot to buy this stuff through. So go ahead, Jack. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the tyrants.
Oh, this one's actually pretty funny. So the NRA convention was this weekend in Indianapolis, and
that is so a lot square. Of, I love guns, of, man, but the NRA are square.
Exactly, and a lot of things happened at that convention. But what I wanted to basically touch on was, so Bloomberg actually paid for Mother's Demand Action to fly out to Indianapolis. I know, right? Grassroots all the way.
Anytime but. Mothers Demand Action, I just turn it off, man.
Yeah, we like to call them Mothers Needing Action for sure. That's
well. Didn't but, you say you got some sexy ex-Marine to go down and like seduce them verbally and
Navy
get them
seal,
get
yeah.
them to like guns?
Yeah, they were sponsoring. They did a version of what is now Everytown, and so back then they would just basically they come into town and they would get people to go to churches and whatnot. So the way we would get women to come away was we would get these really hot guys and post their pictures on their cars and say, "Come learn shoot guns with us," and the girls would go, "Whoa," you know. So it's the lady that runs a Mother's Demand Action is a lady by the name of Shannon Watts, and she used to work for Monsanto as an executive. Ew. And her new job is working for Mother's Demand Action. So she was at the NRA convention. She's had a long time running dispute with a pro-gun journalist by the name of Dana Loesch. And Loesch. Both of the women cannot stand both of the women cannot stand each other, and they're getting Twitter battles all the time. What they noticed at the NRA convention when Dana was trying to confront Shannon Watts, who she'd never met before in person, was that when Watts went to go get into her car, it was an SUV, a white SUV that pulled up next to the side of the curb along with some other SUVs. And the people that were escorting all the Mother's Demand Action folks into the car were all heavily armed.
Ooh,
and
that's
so,
filthy.
Right.
For that
so,
kind of lady.
Guns for us, but not for you kind of thing coming across pretty loud and clear. And there's Bloomberg is the same way. I mean, he said that the fourth largest army in America is in New York's police department, city police department.
And he's
and he
proud,
was
proud
of
that fact.
Yeah, he is.
What are the other ones? America, Israel? No, they're not the largest. They're the most heavily armed. But what? Russia?
Right.
No, China. America, China. What's the third one? India?
India. I think the SCA, the Society for Creative Acronyms. The fourth largest army in the planet, but that used to be a stand-in joke. But
swords and broadswords and magic.
That's right. Roll for 20. But the other thing is the fact that Bloomberg actually pays for them to fly out to protest.
Man,
yeah.
What is it with billionaires that like, especially politicians? Like they're billionaires. They could retire and have any kind of life they wanted for 100 lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And then they become politicians and they ruin people's lives. And then they stop being politicians and they want to spend their whole fortune ruining people's lives and telling them what to do. You know?
Yeah.
That is sociopathy, man.
I actually spoke to him once and it was the most non-constructive conversation.
Non-consensual conversation you've ever had.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. And from what I understand, that's all he cares about is just taking guns out of people's hands.
Well, that and large sodas and cigarettes.
Large sodas and a lot of other things. But it's amazing that they have these double standards where they can have armed guards and security. And what they said was their executive director, Erica Soto Lamb, I think that's how you say it, she said that the reason why they have to have armed security is because of the pro-gun culture. And the gun culture itself makes fun of them. So, I mean, I don't know why they would need them.
Yeah.
Sounds
so
like
so square, man. Do you think those people, like, drink the blood of freshly slaughtered infants in their spare time? Not him in particular, just that kind of person.
Black robes and the whole nine yards.
Maybe. All right. Thanks, Jack Johnson. It's been good having you on Freedom Fiends After Dark. Say worms.
All right. Worms. Thanks.
Worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.